Welcome to the Wise Woman's Way podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping women navigate a happy, healthy life from age 50 to 100 and beyond. I'm Ann Rad, host of the Wise Woman's Way podcast. Together, let's explore the latest science for energetic bodies and sharper minds right into our 90s. Let's share life hacks for more enjoyable, better living every day. Don't stop believing. You can do and be all that you ever dreamed or imagined, even now. Episode 7. Go ahead. Wear the hat. Smoke the cigar. Go on vacation alone. Good day, family and friends. Today, I hope to empower you, embolden you, to step out of your comfort zone and wear things, do things, and act out of the ordinary, at least out of the ordinary for you. Have you had this happen to you? You're out shopping, you get excited, and you buy something unusual. A piece of clothing, or an accessory, like a hat. You bring it home. You think, what occasion will I have to wear this? You're thinking way too hard, and you're not sure. Maybe you should take it back. Well, you should be able to wear anything, anytime, as long as it covers the necessary body parts to make it legal. In Canada, I think it's just your nether regions you have to keep covered up. Yes, you can flash those breasts. Now, you do have to keep in mind the message you are sending to the world with your choices. It may be important at some time, like, you know, a high-level business meeting would not be the time to whip out that see-through top and short shorts. However, I love hats and cigars and going on vacation alone or with a friend as opposed to my spouse. Did I ever hesitate to do any of these? Yes. Of course I did, and often. But I asked myself, what would happen if I did this thing? What are the consequences of this choice? After careful consideration, the usual answer was nothing much. I will get criticized if, by no one else, my mother will have something to say about this. I will surely be judged. People are constantly evaluating and judging others. But that is a whole other podcast about insecurity and all kinds of other things. But really, my life will probably go on unchanged, except for the wonderful reactions I get to experience that my presence creates in other people's realms or orbits. I often ask myself, why do we hesitate to wear the hat, smoke the cigar, or go on vacation alone? Why do so many people shy away from looking different or standing out? Why is that? The overarching motivation not to be different or not to stand out comes from basic intrinsic need to belong. Intrinsic. What's intrinsic? Well, I like to call it built-in programming. The experts say that intrinsic needs or intrinsic wants are driven by the brain. The brain says, hey, let's use this energy to get me this reward. I'm motivated to do this from within, which intrinsic then is inherently to act from motivation from within. And we need to belong. That's a huge wired motivation. The need to belong, human belongingness, is an emotional need to be affiliated with and be accepted by members of a group, be it a peer group at school, coworkers, an athletic team, a religious group, or any other group that has some sort or shares some sort of commonality. We are looking for acceptance. We want attention and we want support. In Abraham Maslow's famous theory on the hierarchy of needs, he identifies belongingness as one of the major needs that motivate human behavior. Indeed, love and belonging is at the midpoint of the needs pyramid, right after physiological and then safety needs. It motivates us to seek out long-lasting relationships with other people for romantic, spiritual, and other communal attachment. This was very important once upon a time, long ago, just for survival. There were no laws, no armies, nor police, bylaw officers, friendly butchers, bakers, construction companies, and safety net social security checks to keep you safe, clothed, and fed. Irrespective of what you did or said, you relied on the group effort of the tribe for survival. Being expelled from the tribe was not a good thing. Making waves, pissing off the people in charge, probably won't get you to the head of the feeding line after a successful hunt. The need to belong to a group or tribe or community will often compel people to change something about themselves in order to fit in. In 1955, Deutsch and Girard studied social conformity and deduced that two key reasons people conform. The first is called informational influence, and the second, normative influence. Individuals look to the group for clues for how to behave that was instructional, like, this is the best way to hunt, or don't keep running in that direction, you'll fall off a cliff. It is a way to get better informed and be more knowledgeable. In fact, right up to today's day and age. Although there's so much information out there, deciphering what's important and what one really needs to be worried about is difficult to ascertain. But it helps to share and tackle the issues with like-minded people in your group. Once you have your tribe, congregate often. Do you know how many anxieties and unhappy thoughts have been washed away at a friend's kitchen table with tea or coffee and a talk? That is one thing we are missing in today's day and age, the gathering on a regular basis. Not just via text over a device. We don't need gourmet coffee in public at a prince's ransom at that. We don't need a Martha Stewart-styled home and perfectly decorated to invite someone in. Share what you have, messy life or not. Gourmet coffee or just water. Remember, you'll be finding like-minded souls who will not care about these trivial things. Sharing the human touch, the human interaction. Then the grief and worry lessens that worry and anxiety. And conversely, sharing the celebratory moments in one's life. It increases the joy and happiness of the event or moment or thing. Now, the normative influence is where people learn to avoid punishment and gain reward. People's behavior is inconsistent with their beliefs and/or desires because they are often subrogated for the group's rules in order to avoid rejection or punishment. That's the negative side of the coin. I prefer to focus on the positive. The website, verywellmind.com, has some amazing articles on this subject. See the actual URL in the show notes on the website. In a 2020 study of college students, researchers found a positive correlation between sense of belonging and greater overall well-being. The more connected students felt, the more happy and healthy they were mentally. They had less anxiety, they had less depression, less feelings of hopelessness, and far less suicidal thoughts. So, a sense of belonging is very important. You just have to find the right group to belong to, like one that accepts you for you. In his book, Tribe, The Homecoming and Belonging, written in 2016 by Sebastian Younger and published by 12 in New York, Younger says humans are not really cut out for a life of rugged individualism. According to his research, it takes 25,000 years to adapt to a new environment. We are all still hardwired to be hunter-gatherers, to be tribal. Material wealth has allowed us to lead independent lives, but our DNA means that we crave the kind of communities in which our ancestors lived. Western societies are afflicted with the highest level of mental illness in the history of humanity, due in part to pathological loneliness. And I have stated in other podcasts, our horrible food supply that doesn't give us the proper nutrients to thrive mentally. So rather than buffering people from clinical depression, increased wealth in our society seems to foster more depression. Going at it alone isn't necessarily a good thing. In my opinion, healthy interdependence is the way to go. Back to Sebastian. Sebastian Younger was a war correspondent who noticed that people rise to the occasion in times of war and conflict. They are actually mentally healthier in those adverse times. It seems that when people are actively engaged in a cause, their lives have more meaning, more purpose, with a resulting improvement in mental health. On natural disasters, he says people become cohesive and supportive during hard times. Quote, disasters tend to simplify things and return people to a more natural way of living, unquote. Sociologist Charles Fritz in 1961 posited a theory that modern life destroys the social bonds that used to glue humans and their societies together. And that was back in 1961. In times of disaster, people realize their survival depends on cooperation with others, and divisions based on wealth and race suddenly become insignificant. In war or military conflict, people bond. The constant danger from a common enemy creates a degree of intimacy and closeness that is very unusual in any other context. So much so, when soldiers return home from long periods of time in the army and in conflict or war zones, their lives at home become stressful and very disappointing. There's no communal spirit. Society is divided into small and isolated family units without much support and contact on a regular basis with other like-minded, similarly stressed, put-upon individuals that were there at a moment's notice to help out with encouragement or a helpful hand. There was no longer a common enemy or a single focus for their life. Younger cites the AIDS epidemic in the 1980s as another example of people banding together against a common threat. The tight-knit community, the gay community, banded together to share and figure out how to fight AIDS. And again, more recently, the COVID epidemic saw people doing things for their neighbors and friends, going out of their way to help fight the battle by doing what they thought was good and right for society as a whole. Perhaps that is why so many people do not really want to let go of the fight COVID mentality. They like the focus, the simplicity, and the coming together and the leveling that that threat promoted. Younger's main message is that we should strive to find ways of creating a sense of tribal belonging in times of peace as well. Now, to an interesting sidebar. Apparently, very strong leadership abilities are linked to the opposite of a tendency to conform. In fact, good leaders have a decreased tendency to conform. People who are strong enough to stand out are strong enough to lead. So go forth and take charge, ladies and gentlemen. I know it took a bit for me to unshackle myself from the ropes that tied me down in previous circles, the ones that told me what I should be doing and what I should be thinking and how I should be conforming. Now that I'm free to think the way I want, to do what I want, to be who I want, I feel like I'm flying every day. What an amazing feeling. Come hang out in the sky with me. Obviously, the need to belong to a group is great, and the desire to be accepted and wanted and appreciated and ultimately loved oftentimes leads people to forego their individuality. Sometimes they're compelled to change their behavior, change their beliefs, and change their attitudes. I'm saying no, don't do it. We've got laws, police, and grocery stores now. You don't have to change to belong to a tribe. You just have to find the right one. There are many groups and different kinds of tribes that will not just allow you to be who you really are, but celebrate and promote who you are. Like this tribe, the Wise Woman's Way tribe. So, what is a magic fix for our need of self-belonging? How do we get it? Number one, first, make an effort. Put yourself out there. Seek out activities and groups with whom you have a common interest or want to develop one. For example, I wanted to be more active and meet new people, so I joined a pickleball club. I'm connecting with people who like to be active, I'm trying something new, and having a lot of fun. Number two, be patient. It takes time to gain acceptance, attention, and support from members of the group. Number three, practice acceptance yourself. Focus on similarities and not the differences. What are the commonalities that connect you to others, and remain open to new ways of thinking? Number four, remember to keep this mindset. Everyone is doing the best they can, including you. Give friends and situations a pass for minor transgressions. Practice giving others, and especially yourself, grace. And by that I mean mercy, clemency, indulgence. Have grace with others, have grace with yourself. Lastly, be thankful for being rejected by people or groups. They showed you they were the wrong sphere of influence on you. You need to find your new tribe that promotes fresh ideas for living, for good health, for happiness. Positive and energetic people to get you up and moving in the direction of your hopes and dreams. Find free-spirited, uplifting souls to congregate with, live life to the fullest with. Indeed, need I have to say this? Go ahead, wear the hat, smoke the cigar, and go on vacation by yourself. I'm Ann Radicich, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening and sharing. Now for show notes and other tidbits, go to our website, www.thewisewomansway.com or www.annrad.com, and you'll be redirected there. There are some great articles on psychology topics at www.verywellmind.com. Again, thank you for listening and hope to connect soon. If you find this podcast interesting or entertaining or have any positive values, please consider leaving us a review, hopefully a 5-star review. Have a great day. Thank you for listening. You have just finished enlightening yourself to the Wise Woman's Way. For further information, show notes, and valuable tools, tips, and tricks for life, visit our website, www.thewisewomansway.com, there's no apostrophe there, or www.annrad.com, that's Ann with an E, and Rad, as in radical ideas, radical thinking, radical life, The Wise Woman's Way. Be blessed until next time.